It's meow. Okay, one. Welcome to the Winners and Losers radio program. Fridays, now it's 7 o'clock in the morning. God, I slept great last night.
You slept great? That is wonderful.
It's the first in a while. You know, my doc gave me one of those medicines for old men that worked better. What can I say?
And it's a medicine for sleep, I suppose?
It's a medicine to keep you from going up and peeing three times a night.
Oh, that one. Yeah. That's a good one.
Which is a sleep loss thing eventually. So, anyway.
Oh, no. Trust me, I would like something to make me sleep too. I'm on a 3-hour schedule.
Every 3 hours, there's a animal that needs attention.
The animal that lives inside of me.
Yeah, right. Well, of your own animal, and then the others, right?
The animal that lives inside of my head and won't let me relax.
Oh boy, December 7th. 2023.
You were about to say 19.
Right, 1941, whatever, 2023.
Well, I responded jointly on our group email. Lucia is not able to join us this morning. She had to fly out to Denver early.
Oh my God. So, what's happening in Denver?
Oh, it's really, really exciting. She is attending a national consortium, I guess, or a workshop for youngish Democrats, progressives who are running for office.
All right. And, Denver.
Yeah.
Huh?
So,
it's a training association kind of. Here's how to. Don't make this mistake kind of meeting.
Well, it's basically a grassroots campaign training, you know, how, like, it specializes in rural areas and rural campaigns and purple districts, so, and red districts, so, and how to get your message across. So she's really excited about that. She's there for till Sunday night. It looks like she'll be flying into snow and flying back to who knows what Sunday night.
Yeah, the weather looks kind of ugly for the weekend.
Yeah, she's a little bit of a nervous flyer, so well, I got up this morning, you know, morning to see her off.
It's a terrible experience these days. I mean, when you count all the security and all the, overselling of seats so that you have a complete jam up, if possible. That would be ideal if all kinds of people get their flight. Oh, I'm sorry. You got bumped. It's oversold.
Yeah, it's not very pleasant. I'm with you on that one. If it's, I guess my criteria is if it's more than a 10-hour drive, I'll fly.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, because then, but it's almost an extra, let's see, for airports around here, it's almost the flight time plus probably 4 to 5 hours, more or less. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean.
That's my 10-hour rule.
There you go. I guess that's
10 hours anyway.
That's where it came from. I see how you calculated that, right?
Genius, right?
Oh, God, yes. Hey, I have an idea that I don't know whether either of us can find time to do this, but or both. It would be fun if we could both do it. It's time for someone from the quote press end quote to attend and witness the Jefferson County Commission meetings.
I know, that's been coming up a lot more lately.
And, I think there's a source of both humor and outrage.
I may put that in my 2024 category of list of to-dos.
I mean, they're on. I mean, you can't always stay.
I'm going to end this year with that task. I will save it for my New Year's resolution.
They're on mostly Thursdays. It used to be anyway, I believe. You know, at the library there, in Charlestown.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody can afford to stay to watch it at all. Okay, because they deliberately do things like, oh, well, let's postpone for an hour while we look into that and we'll come back. Well, how many people are going to be sitting around all day? You know, but nonetheless, I think just the personalities that are there would provide, you know, a feast.
I agree. And I get asked about it often. You know, I don't know, you know, I guess people know I follow things here and there, but it is one thing I admittedly have kind of turned a blind eye to. And now that I am officially a West Virginia resident again, I just got my license in the mail.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess I could take that on as my penance.
Well, I wouldn't
mind. Or celebration.
You know, I think it would be fun if we did a couple of them, you know, pound to do a couple of them. Even if we can't stay all day, sometimes they make it go all day. And then, of course, sometimes the screwballs don't even show up, so they don't have a quorum.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm,
they mm-hmm. And they can't do anything, which is, I assume is the purpose of the screwballs boycott or whatever they're doing.
So they actually have these during the day?
Yeah.
And
they used to be at 9 a.m. They used to be at 9 a.m. in the morning. And then, well, sometimes they would go just like a business. I remember I used to go occasionally when Walt Pelish was on it and Lynn Widmeyer. Okay, since they were mm-hmm. both coming on the show back in that occasionally back
right.
in those days. So, you know, and you know, it was a little tedious, but I was mainly going just so I could understand what the hell the two of them were arguing about all the time. Because they were always on opposite sides of all the development issues. So anyway, and I just drive around the county now and see this huge amount of housing going up. As well as the prices of real estate. So a lot of people are going to be have to move into another county
right.
if they want to be able to afford to live. So Shepherdstown especially, very expensive.
It is very expensive.
And, you know, the county commission is the only place in the area that has any taxing authority. The towns don't have hardly any.
Right.
So if you want to actually do something in the county that costs money, that's the only place to go in some way.
I have heard a few people that I would certainly endorse and support that are interested in getting involved at the county level. So it would be a good thing for us to do to keep our finger on the pulse of that in 2024.
Yeah, because
I agree.
I mean, everyone's going to be, you know, talking about, I suppose, Biden and Trump, unless one or both of them get ill and die in the process. But it's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, once
it could
you're.
Happen.
I mean, I,
it
you
could
know.
Happen.
I mean, Trump's. Trump's 6 months older than me. Okay, so if I was to predict whether I was going to be here 4 years from now, I mean, it would be a gamble. Okay, so, I think it's true for both of them. I saw Biden last week. He was at a press conference about, I don't remember, it was something about the military aid that the Republicans are holding up.
Right.
And I was sitting there, I was watching it with Mike Diesel, you know, Mike Cucurini, he likes to be called now.
Yep.
And and Patience said, well, there's something wrong with his chin. What? I don't know, something that just didn't look right. You know, maybe it was the camera. But almost instantaneously, his wife came up and grabbed his arm while he was at the lectern. Huh. You know. And then the next day, he had a statement saying that, well, if it wasn't for the fact that Trump was running, he might not have run again. Which I assume that's the way he actually feels too.
Right. And makes, I wonder if he, I mean, yeah, I think they might be rethinking this whole thing, you know, just between
us little caterpillars,
you know, and, you know, his health. I mean, it is a thing. I mean,
even if he's in reasonably good health, which I assume he must be for someone 80, still, you know, mm-hmm. it's, I mean, I have to take a nap most afternoons. I mean, if I wanted to just stay exhausted, I could probably avoid it. But although maybe now that I'm sleeping better at night, maybe I don't have to, but. Maybe that's Joe's problem too. He needs one of those little pills. But I just, you yeah. know, when I watched, I was true. When I watched his wife come up and grab a hold of him a little before the. Was,
and that was during a speech, a press
yeah.
conference?
Yeah, well, uh-huh. he was not in a press conference, but he was taking questions anyway after making some announcement. And, and then he skittered off pretty fast. Whatever. Maybe not. Maybe it's nothing. But
right.
You know, I mean, it's like those little things that everybody watches. And
I
don't care if he was
nervous.
Halfway in the casket.
I get nervous every time he speaks. Like, oh, Lord, how's this one going to go?
Yeah, I know, because he does have some malapropism every now and then. But
yeah.
but that's okay. If he could be halfway in the casket, and I would vote for him over Trump. So.
Well, there's that. There's
Wait, I'm not in yet.
I just wanted to pick it out. I wanted to choose it myself.
I know. Oh man, God help us, Jesus.
Well, on another note, I have been in email contact with Zach Shrewsbury's campaign, Shrewsbury for Senate. And they are going to come up with a date that he can join us on the show as well.
Yeah, it seems to be. Although, when someone puts on their resume community organizer, I don't know.
I know, and this is this
which
is
part
the
of the community?
That, well, we're facing, you know. What we were just talking about, this generation gap to young voters, community organizer is a good thing. You know, that stands for something. It's not, it doesn't carry that, that image for older voters. So, you have to start somewhere. People are getting older, and older voters aren't going to be voting anymore because they're all going to be of a different generation.
Too much to get to the polls today.
I don't.
You're okay.
Somebody
you're
said,
okay with community organizer. Okay.
I am.
It's like it's another way of in the old days it used to mean that was you were either a member of the Black Panther Party or you were a communist. So, which you know I'm fine with both. Actually,
and that's not what. Yeah, that's not what it means.
I'm not sure everybody has the same.
You know, I'm on that cusp generation, and that's not what it means to me. And certainly to the younger generation, it's more of a positive.
Yeah.
You know, and I had somebody say, oh, he doesn't look like a senator. And, you know.
God,
and
thank God.
Yeah, exactly. This person was in their 70s. And I was just like. Yeah, I think people are kind of sick of the ones that look like senators.
who's the guy in Pennsylvania that won but then had a kind of a stroke?
The big guy.
Yeah, He seemed to.
Why can't we remember his name? Look, our geriatrics are showing. I need my Prevagen.
I remember Bernie telling me years ago after he got elected to the Congress the first time from Vermont that he had never yet worn a tie. and he didn't. You know, he was consciously always, you know, casually dressed more or less, you know, when he was in his role as mayor of Burlington and even in the first few years as Congress. But I see they finally made him, adopt the senatorial dress code.
Yeah.
They didn't change his politics much. I see he objected, on principle to that resolution they were going to pass that, oh, if you're not a Zionist, you must be an anti-Semite. Netanyahu, he just showed, that's what happens to something like, whatever you want to call it, Zionism, no matter how aspirational that was for Jewish people after the war, especially, some lunatic came along and transformed it into no different from Hitler, which is
right.
One of the horrible ironies of history, in my view, how that happened. It just, God. I remember I heard Netanyahu was a student, came over here at the University of Buffalo in 69, and he made a speech, and he was just as crazy and right-wing then as he is now. Only now he's got tons of weapons too. Back at that time, he was head of some youth group that went around, beating up Palestinians or whatever. But now you hire you give somebody a whole lot of weapons and you tell them to, hey, why don't you be our little proxy in the Middle East? We need a cat's paw, and you agree to it. And then you think you've got yourself a trusted ally, but the other side of it is he's got you too, because you hired him to kill people, and now he knows.
Amen. Yeah.
when you hire the hitman, he has a piece of you too, unless you want to hire another hitman to kill him.
Exactly. Do you feel as hopeless about that situation as I do?
I can't see any way out.
I don't either. It's just, it's so hate-filled. I just can't stand it.
I saw this. I posted this picture the other day. I saw a picture of this rubble and a 2-year-old child and a cat trapped in the rubble together, consoling each other. 3-year-old child, maybe. Needed no comment.
I have such a hard time. The one day that I did watch and kind of dive into the news, and then I had, I had a full day of work to do, and one of the things I had to do was take somebody to a doctor's appointment, and we were in the in the waiting room, and there was a pharmaceutical rep sitting there waiting to, right. sell her goods.
Yep.
Out of her little black bag, and she was, just very peppy, in accordance with the personality that needs to be a pharmaceutical rep. She started talking, how's your planning? I didn't know this woman. How's your planning for the holidays and blah, blah, blah. And I said, I just really don't do much at all. I don't subscribe to consumerism. She goes, that's good, because our family, there are 10 of us, and we are having a really hard time because 2 of the 10 of us want to change the way we do our gift exchange. And they want to change the rules that have been in place for like 20 years. And my parents are upset about it, but we really think it's the wives that are behind. It's 2 of my brothers. And I just looked at her. I said, maybe you should just send a group email and say, thank God we're not all in Gaza. Is this really important? And then I was just like, you know what? There are some days I shouldn't leave the house. It's not safe.
One of my brothers-in-law did a similar thing, I don't know, 30 years ago, when he suggested that there's some Christmas tradition called Secret Santa. Have you heard of that one?
Oh, of course, yeah.
And so they wanted to change the, rather than everybody giving gifts to each other, you have a basically a reduced extravaganza through the Secret Santa technique where, everybody gets a gift from Santa Claus and you bypass all this other stuff that,
right.
It's true, drives the kids crazy. It does. I mean, it's like by the time you're halfway through the Christmas opening, at least in our family, it just was like already enough candy had been consumed to drive any kid crazy. And
Right.
you can see it. But none the but of course, there's so much, personal relationships tied up in the Christmas giving and receiving thing that that proposal sank almost immediately upon being proposed. But
I know, and I like I said, I should just keep my mouth shut sometimes because I really couldn't stand there and listen to her another second. And then when I realized she wasn't going to stop talking, I had to say something that was going to stop her in her tracks.
Right.
And she goes, oh, yeah. And she just stopped talking. And I said, well, have a good day. And I laughed.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. I don't
there's
know.
lots of different problems.
There are.
So I listened to a lengthy speech by Joe Manchin
Oh, yeah.
before the Congress. It's interesting. He took the time. What was he doing? Well, he was defending the fossil fuel industry
Right.
indirectly, but well, no, he was pretty direct. And on the theory that this is an interesting theory that by creating certain incentives, the fossil fuel industry will, follow the market eventually to a cleaner environment. And that there wasn't any need to all this so-called transitional assistance or thinking about different kinds of jobs for people, because capitalism just works beautifully to find you a job if you
Oh,
lose the one you
golly, golly, golly.
have. Well, the market is
Okay.
wonderful. At which point, I was thinking of him, Joe, you just lost every coal miner there. Every
Right.
single one. Because, if there's no transition, there's absolutely zero incentive for them to do anything but just, oppose shutting down every mine job. And,
Yeah.
I could just hear Cecil Roberts, exploding over it, frankly. And which is a good thing in some ways, because I think it's been time for Cecil to divorce Mr. Manchin. There's not much, even though there's not much to say. Obviously, Republicans are going to win, I think, in the state right now. I don't know how the Democrats are positioned way. I don't see how they can do it. I don't see how they can even, really. You'd have
Well,
to.
it was interesting. Lucia had her kickoff
Yeah.
event,
How'd it
and
go?
well, not her kickoff event, but she was in both parades and did Martinsburg and Shepherdstown Christmas parades, and it's just so fascinating that her district is across two counties,
Right.
and so she. In the Shepherdstown parade, actually had a family of known, very known, because this gentleman sometimes puts his flag on his truck and flies it when he drives. So his Trump flag. And but he and his wife and children joined her in the parade because they're going to vote for her, even though nationally they'll vote for somebody else.
You know why? Do they say why?
Because they believe that she really does care about everybody, no matter what party affiliation they're with.
Okay.
And that's kind of what I continually keep putting out there, is if we had leaders who make that personal connection and show like true unity, it does make a difference. It makes a difference. People feel it.
They would like to see it. Yeah, right. I can't believe there's many that are enjoying the level of division, you know, in the country.
Right. It's the people that sit at home and use it as entertainment, perhaps, and kind of have that kind of angst in their souls.
Well, that's a positive sign. How was the Martinsburg parade?
I wasn't able to attend that one. I had work to do in the afternoon. She said it was good. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
And, she's getting around.
Mm-hmm. Well. Maybe,
but I think in these smaller campaigns, there is room to at least start planting the seeds and making some change. But whew, it's not fast enough, is it?
Probably not for the 2024 senatorial or probably the governor election either. I'm not sure. Somebody would have to emerge that's got it. Enough experience with the state to, know where to really plant a flag, right, in some parts of the state, okay? Because, I mean, I believe it's entirely possible to expose these people as being, some of these people as being completely incompetent in the first place, but ordinary people are going to ask, well, incompetent, what? If you collect an idiot that nonetheless has the same biases as you, okay, it's difficult to separate yourself from that, maybe, if your family
it
or
is.
Suffers into
and
it.
And that's where I see the challenge too, John, is how, without making someone feel less educated or
disrespected, yes,
or disrespected around the issues, how do we get across that these people, some of the politicians that we are talking about in the state of West Virginia, are simply taking advantage of the people that may not have political experience or wisdom, that just because of life experiences, you know? And that's what I see, is if there was a way to articulate and really get people to understand, like, these people really don't care about you without devastating them.
I think probably people are presupposed to think that anyway, that I don't think they care about me, but it would be worthwhile to figure out a way to, every time you see them do something that they is obvious they don't care, you got to point out how much money it's costing you to have them there. I mean, that's, you know, you liked what he said. Yeah, well, it just costs you about $1,000. I hope you know, what else were you going to spend $1,000 on?
Yeah, I mean, it's so fascinating. When I drove out to south of Parsons for Thanksgiving, I hadn't, you know, done that drive in quite a while. And just, you know,
where is
quarter
Parsons?
Age. Parsons is on the other side of Blackwater Falls.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I was further down in, I don't even know where the heck I was. It was my first time in that part of West Virginia.
Right.
And about a half an hour from Canaan Valley, Blackwater Falls area. So just driving out there, and I mean, I think the windmills and are just absolutely beautiful, going across those mountain ridges. And I mean, I was driving on Quarter H and I started crying. I had tears rolling down my face at how beautiful the state is. And just, it was just such a nice drive, and it was early in the morning and everything was just crisp and gorgeous. And, you know, when I got to my destination, it was a family of, you know, generations and generations of West Virginians. They were Italian immigrants that came here. And the thing they're most proud of is they found a way to work and survive that did not put any of the 12 or 13 kids in the coal mines.
Mm-hmm.
And they started a split rail fence like business where they, you know, logging essentially, but responsibly. And the grandpa that was hosting everybody there, and like I said, four generations of the family were there. He owns the mountain behind him, and he taps maple trees as well.
Sure.
So he has a real respect for, you know, the earth, even though he logs. And it was just really fascinating and such a beautiful story. And you know, there were 13 of them. He's almost 90 and he's the last remaining. So he was telling me all kinds of stories about when, you know, his parents first came here, and showed me all kinds of pictures. It was just really fun. And it just made me think about how the fabric of West Virginia is just, it's gorgeous, and the stories and the people. And I just really wish we could get that kind of message across, to become more prideful. I think that's something that our state needs too, is to kind of move up in that category and have more pride. You know, you and I have talked about the opioid crisis and everything, and I think a lot of that comes from a soullessness and that loss of hope.
What about the, well, okay, well, let's take the opioid crisis, and which is very closely related to the incarceration crisis, which is a crisis because the people working in the prison, quote, industry, I suppose, are paid nothing. And and nonetheless, they're held to some, you know, very strict example. For example, during the pandemic, if they didn't show up at work, they could be arrested.
Right.
I heard that from Senator Manchin, you know, who, thank God, was outraged at that, but I'm not quite sure what he did about it. anyway. And then we have people in the state AFL, of course, who are representing, some of the prison workers are represented, but remember, public employees in West Virginia don't have any real collective bargaining rights. They appeal to the labor committees of either the Senate or the House to get, well, raises annually as part of the budget process, right? You know, or their salaries. But also, if you got staffing grievances or stuff like that, which is also ends up being a budget issue, right? You know, why don't you hire more people? Well, nobody wants the job. Well, why don't you raise the pay? Because you're a big believer in the freaking market.
Right.
Yes. I mean, oh, no, we can't do that. That involves raising taxes. And we got Republicans who don't understand anything about politics except that their job for their constituency is to not pass any tax. Except a tax cut for business, or, you know, wealthy people, but there are not that many wealthy people in West Virginia. Not really wealthy. I mean, there's not, I don't think we have, you know, we have incomes rising in Jefferson County. You can see that in the housing prices, but
right.
Most
but a lot of
counties,
them also don't work here. A lot of them work in Virginia.
Like, yeah, sure. Like yeah. Carol. I mean, she works downtown, right? Or remote or downtown. Mm-hmm. And plus, you have people retiring up here or building second homes. And that's a, especially in Jefferson County. I don't know whether that's as true in Berkeley, but it's certainly true here.
It is true. Actually, my mom's psychiatrist. She and her husband are both longtime doctors in Baltimore, and they just recently, in the past 2 years, bought a big tract of land up in Berkeley County.
Right.
And that's where they're going to retire.
Right. I hope they don't have any problem getting to a hospital.
Yeah, we have there's that.
You know, it's interesting. We have a lot of access to health care in the state of West Virginia. It's better than some other states. It really is. Through the West Virginia health care system, University of West Virginia University health care system. But they don't have, if you want a specialist of any kind, they're not living here. I remember Carol was looking for an endocrinologist, and there's one that services Winchester, here, and Hagerstown.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't get an appointment for 2 or 3 months. I believe there's only one guy in the West Virginia system in this area that does colonoscopies, and it takes 6 months to get an appointment with him. His name's Kleiter. He's the same guy who's been doing it for 25 years here. But there used to be others, but they either retired or they left the state, or I don't know. And try to find a psychiatrist that'll meet you face to face. I don't think there is one.
Right, right. I know.
You know. And
yeah.
I remember when my granddaughter was here and had a breakdown. You know, the only psychiatric help was going to be remote, and she resolutely refused to talk to somebody remote. So she was a very opinionated 14-year-old. But
mm-hmm. Now, I know the mental health issue is, that one's a really tough one, especially if you're trying to get through insurance.
And,
it's
impossible. And like, for example, I believe Zaki, who's licensed in Florida and California and is doing business. I think he's working noon to eight, you know, on ships doing rework, but it's all remote. It's all, remote, but they wouldn't, he was going to have to jump through some terrible hoops to get the license opened in West Virginia. And maybe he's done it by now, but they were making him go through a lot of bureaucratic bullshit, you know, because, oh, well, you haven't practiced in the state for a while. You will have to blah, 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 you know.
Maybe
they don't want black psychiatrists. That could be true, too. You never know what you do. What the bureaucracy is.
Yeah, I think they are. That would be a boon.
One would think. So making these services available to folks. The other big issue in the state legislature is going to be whether you're going to extend and reinforce Medicaid, Obama's version of Medicaid, which makes the benefits equivalent to Medicare.
Right.
And earlier that was impossible. You had to prove to get, for example, pregnancy covered or you know, child care stuff, well, pregnancy care, I think you had to apply before you got pregnant. And by the time you were halfway through, you might get some benefits. And by the time the baby was born, the benefits were gone because, you know, and plus you had to submit all these asset declarations about everything that you possibly owned that most people don't even have. Records.
Maybe the Christian right will find a way to extend pregnancy so we can provide benefits.
The Christian nationalism is turning into
stay pregnant for 2 years and you'll
the
get
the bedrock
some benefits.
Of the Trumpist movement. I think it's this is an interesting thing that I remember reading way back when George Bush the Second was running. Mm-hmm. And he had an interview in which actually two different interviews with George Bush the Second. One where he said his father's mistake and the reason why he lost to Clinton was he didn't like the Christian nationalists or whatever you call these guys, political Christians, fascist Christians or whatever. I don't know what you call them. He didn't like them, and he didn't want to make any commitments to them about some of their issues, okay? And so, but his son said, well, that's why he lost. And so George, first thing he did was, and an old frat guy. I love this. That's what George always reminds me of. Yeah, George Jr. And he says, well, I've found Jesus. I've been born again. And so he roped those guys in and he won, right? But then after he left office, he was on some interview with, I can't remember who was talking to him. And he said, he was asked about that. And he didn't say yes or no, except, well, my father wasn't crazy. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
So,
I think.
But that's a problem in this state. You have people that have no place to go. There used to be some public services they could go to, but now if you've got alcohol, you've got any other problems, they got a group for you at the church, a prayer group or group or whatever. And, then they're busy, if you got sick family, taking food or doing something with your kids, like taking them up to a little Christian Nazi school of some kind and telling them how much Jesus loves white people.
Absolutely,
but
a lot more.
Yeah, So I mean, they're very active and they're very political. I see every now and then I go over to the Folly and I have to listen to Bill rant about what kind of weapon it would take to completely obliterate the church behind him.
What's
this Hamas in Jefferson County?
we're not going to condone that, Mr. No. Bill.
but it's hard not to sympathize in some respects. But you see, people that they'll even throw you off Facebook for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. You better be careful what you're saying.
And they probably should. But, on the other hand, but it's just that people are, it's hard to see how it's going to end good. I like, if I'm really interested to hear Lucia's, in her own words, theme about bringing people together.
That, I think on her website there is her first of many videos that she's made, like kind of testimonials. She's going to put stuff out on Facebook. Are you following her Facebook page?
I haven't seen that. I'll look at that. It's really, I think if you could really, it's going to take a lot of imagination and sort of creativity with tactics and kind of things you do to sort of get that message through all the fog that's out there.
Mm-hmm. I know.
But if you could, it would be a good thing, you know, if she could get some momentum. And
absolutely. I know she's motivated to do it, and I'm glad that
Who is she running against? Who is she running against? Does she know?
I'm not sure. There was going to be another Democrat, but he decided to not run just recently. So,
okay.
He did reach out to her in person and said that he would help her with her campaign. So,
well, that's good.
And he's another younger Democrat. I think he's in law school at WVU. So that was nice that she has that. So there's a lot of positive things happening, and I try to keep focused on that, John. Ooh, it can be tough some days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny every time I run into somebody in my age group and beyond, everybody just takes a deep sigh and it's like, oh, thank God somebody's
right. Well, that's true.
It's like, I think we're all so tired.
There's a lot of activity around, and I hope that I noticed the change in attitude a little bit in the labor movement not as much in West Virginia as other places, but even here, the solidarity of the auto workers and others, and the Hollywood people, and has made an impression, and an important one, that solidarity is the way to move if you don't have $1 billion.
Absolutely.
And you don't have much power except the solidarity. And so
it's
so precious to see it come together at all, you know, like with the UAW. And I thought, it was a perfect example of the picket line up there in Martinsburg of people who did not vote for Sean Payne. I don't think, or some of them obviously did, but generally speaking, around here they didn't, because the leadership, including some people I know, that thought he was a little too radical, you know, and they liked the District 8 guy that was here. But turns out his message was, even though they had to do it through that government-ordered election as a result of the previous corruption, I think it helped transform that union.
Honestly, John, that was a great experience, not for the people that you know, were on the picket line and the GM workers, but for me to see, for Lucia to see, for the other community members that kind of bothered to pay attention to what was happening.
Right.
That was fascinating. I learned a lot too. And I know Lucia did.
So, well, that's, I hope we can find ways to replicate that. I know we're going to try to put, for example, this will cause a little bit of waves. I think we're going to put a ceasefire resolution for the council next meeting here. And we'll see how that plays in the state. It's interesting.
Right. Well, on that note, update you on all of the guests that I'm working on. I have about 4 people that I'm working on, and I'll give you a schedule when I have dates on them.
I wouldn't mind adding one person to the list. Is that now?
Sure.
You know Sue Pelish, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway, so she has somehow she's gotten the Rotary Club to spend some money on publicizing statements or testimonies of people who have experienced stigma from episodes of mental illness or recovery or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be doing some taped interviews of people, okay? That's my understanding.
Okay.
And so, but we might, if it And they had an article, and they had an article in the newspaper, Martinsburg Journal, last week about it. She somehow they got it into the press, so I assume it's really going to happen. Sometimes with her, I'm not sure whether, you know, she has 16 things she's trying to do, and whether she'll ever get around to finishing this one's not always certain. But I wouldn't mind having a couple of shows on mental health issues if we can get these testimonies together. And
absolutely,
you know,
okay, we can do that too.
Okay, all right. And and maybe I'll find out the schedule of the county commissions going through the holidays and maybe into the new year. And
do that. I will put that on 2024.
Figure out a way to do it, and I think we could have a lot of fun with that too, actually.
I do too. You know. Well, and frankly, I need to understand it a little bit better, or at least witness it with my own two eyes to even be able to comment on it. So, just that in and of itself will be good.
I know. All right, pal. All right. Well, have a good morning.
Day.
You got a busy set of animals to fix today?
I do.
You know, our two cats are in trouble, I have to tell you.
Oh, no.
Well, the little cats, you know, has some kind of kidney or thyroid issue where just everything runs through her, and she eats like two cans of cat food, but you know, she keeps losing weight. And now the other cat, I think the orange cat, I think he's got stomach cancer, either that or a bad infection. I don't know. Cause he's not eating either. He's down to 6 pounds. The other cat's down to 5 pounds. So it's,
and they're both such sweet kitties.
They are sweet, you know, but, oh dear. Anyway, have a great day, Karen.
You too. Give Lukey a pet. Give Lukey a pet for me.
I will. Lukey's been doing great. Yesterday we went out, I took her out on the yard and we played catch for a while. And then I said, well, you want to come in? And she looks at me, and then she just rolls over in the grass about 20 feet away. I guess that's no.
You're starting to learn the language.
So I went in, and then I see her. She starts running. She's waiting for her pal, Lily, the next door German Shepherd, right, to come out. That's what she really wants. Because I see her run up to the fence, put her paws up, like, you know, up this up on the fence and start squealing, you know, where's my buddy? Where's my buddy?
No.
Yeah. And that wasn't there. And so she decided to make the rounds and bark at everything that was anything near. But anyway, so that's, she's trying to work it. All right, pal. Take care.
Have a great
day. It's late. But everything comes next. We'll be back.
Recording stopped.